tonight is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 20. Ephesians 6, 11 through 20. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Thank you to the song leader and the individual that read the scriptures and also the man that led prayer tonight. And thank you very, very much for being here. It won't be very long until this life is over with. It behooves us as individuals to be sure that we're right in the sight of God. If we lose our soul, we've lost everything. I have in my hand a book called the Holy Bible. The word Bible simply means book. Book of the Lord. In Isaiah 34 and verse 16 we read, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, not one of these shall fail." When we think about the Bible, it's God's Word. In Titus 1 and verse 2, in hope eternal life, that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth." So the Bible contains the Word of God. The Bible is a wonderful book. A book that we need to learn. A book that we need to live by. When we think about the Bible, we think of a book that's God-given. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "All scripture given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in every good work." That's exactly what the book is. And then in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according to His divine power, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. Then Jude wrote in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you the common salvation, it was needful that I write to you and exhort you that you should contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." And some translation brings out, "once and for all delivered to the saints." So the Bible is a wonderful book without any mistakes at all. We need to meditate upon it. We need to live by it. We need to be able to teach others by it. One of the fine ways to start the Lord's Day is to tune in on Channel 10 at 7 o'clock and listen to the search program. Brother Phil Sanders is one of the new speakers on the program. And I've known Phil ever since he was a teenager. Had a real, real good lesson this morning. And Brother Mike Lyons, he always has a good lesson. And if you come to the early service each Sunday morning, you can get home by 10:30 and you can turn in to Channel 33 and you can hear two and sometimes three gospel preachers from Wichita, Kansas. They're dealing with Bible questions. And these guys are true to the book. Fine Christian men. But when we think about the Bible, it is the Word of God, given for all people of all ages. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Then in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and he baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And then in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, Jesus said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus of whose Christ to suffer and arise the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." It was in the city of Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the last days. And it was in the city of Jerusalem when repentance and remission of sins was preached first in the name of Christ, and that was among the Jewish people. In Acts chapter 2, begin with verse 1, we read, "Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with the Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews of that men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard him speak in his own language wherein he was born." And they accused Peter and the others being full of new wine. And Peter said, "These are not drunks, as you suppose, but this is the third hour spoken by the prophet Joel. It should come to pass that the Spirit of the Lord would be poured out upon all flesh." And upon that day, Peter used the sword of the Spirit. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and that it discerneth the thoughts and intents of the heart." I have in my hand a sword of the Spirit. Now the sword of the Spirit will not always have its same effect upon people. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a parable about the sower went forth to sow. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell upon stony ground. Some fell among the thorns and the thistles. And some fell upon good and honest heart. What kind of a soil do you have? Is it the good soil? The stony soil? By the wayside? Among the thorns and the thistles? God wants us to have a good and honest heart. We need to have the attitude of mind. "Speak, Lord, thy servant hear. Command thy servant obey." The sword of the Spirit will not always have the results that God wants and that I want and that you want. Noah, for an example, he was one that walked with God. In Amos 3 and verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Noah agreed with God and he walked with God. And he found grace in the sight of the Lord. And he was admonished by the Lord to build an ark for the saving of his house. An ark that's three stories high, one window and one door." But in contrast to that, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein. And they said, we will not walk therein." Doesn't make any difference what God said. We're not going to walk in that path. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was speaking to his people. Jews that had put to death the prophets of old and killed the Son of God. He used the sword of the Spirit. They were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They took him outside the city and stoned him to death. But in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, the prophet Isaiah said that God's word would never return him void, but would accomplish what he sent it. The word of God is a sword. And God's people, the Lord's church, is the army of the Lord. We're going to know the captain of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ. We need to be familiar with the sword of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you to spend a great deal of time with the Bible, the sword of the Spirit. Be able to teach others. There have been a few times in my life, several times in fact, that I've used the sword of the Spirit. One time a few years back, and you've probably heard this story before, there's a man that passed our house, and I'd never seen the man before in my life. I went out there and I attacked him with what? The sword of the Spirit. He was very, very receptive. He's a member of the congregation here at Sunset. He leads prayer. He leads singing occasionally. He drives a van. But you see, the sword of the Spirit, we never know for sure what the results will be. But let's continually sow the Word of God and leave it up to God to give the increase. The Bible is a wonderful book. What is the Bible anyway? It's food. Spiritual food. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." But what was that they hunger and thirst after? Righteousness. But we don't have to speculate as to what righteousness is because in Psalms 119 and verse 172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." We need to have a hunger and thirst after the word of God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." In the audience tonight, we have a man that hadn't been a Christian very long. I've learned to love and appreciate him very much. But I want to encourage him and other people that are new in the faith to have a burning desire to eat the Word of God. The Bible is both milk and meat. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, Paul said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, because hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither are you able now." Then in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, "For the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need the one teacher again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and you have become such as had need of milk, and not a strong meat, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to that individual who by reason of use has his senses exercised to discern between good and evil." Feed your soul upon the Bible, the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, where it admonished, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, we read that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. I preached so long, and I wondered how good a listener would I be. But I'll have to say one thing. Joe Bright has never put me to sleep in a sermon. I have a hunger and thirst after the word of the Lord. So I want to encourage you to be like the Bereans of old. Search the scripture daily. That's exactly what I want you to do tonight. I want you to search the scriptures to see if Elvis Denny has preached only the truth. Because one day, I'll give an account unto God for what I say. In Acts chapter 20, verses 6, 17 and 18, Paul said, "I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to tell you the whole counsel of God. Though we are an angel from heaven preaching the other gospel, and that which we preach to you, let him be accursed." Galatians 1 and verse 8. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. Let him minister with the ability that God gave." And then 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. "I charge therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Then it says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, them heap themselves teachers, having ancient ear, and they will turn away their ear from the truth and be turned into fables. Oh, all people will not accept the truth. But when we think about the truth, Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Sunday and the Wednesday night class, Brother Lowell DeBass had been teaching the auditorium class, and in the book of Hebrews, it brings out, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." The writer of the book of Hebrews was quoting Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." I want you to listen very closely to what I'm getting ready to say. While working with the congregation in eastern Oklahoma, we were there about 13 years as a mission when we moved there. But after a year and a half, we got self-supporting. There's a lady that I studied with, and she was baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But something kept bugging her. And no doubt there are people in this auditorium tonight that can relate to what I'm saying. She'd come to me, she said, "Elvis, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you, Elvis. There's something bothering me." I talked to her, and then after two or three settings with her, I said, "Donna, I want to remind you of something, and we're going to pray about it. When you were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, every sin that you've ever committed was blotted out of God's book of remembrance." I don't say this boastfully at all, but years ago, I had a very, very foul mouth, profanity and vulgarity. In January 1951, I confessed my faith in Christ as the Son of God. And to the best of my knowledge, I've not used profanity and vulgarity since. It'll always be in my mind. But you know what I can hear God say? "Elvis, don't fret about it. You've never in your life used profanity and vulgarity." Are you listening tonight? Regardless of what sin you committed in your life, when you were baptized for the forgiveness of sins, God doesn't know anything about that at all. When I forgive, I forget. I don't have the capacity to forget. But the God in heaven that created the world and all things there, He has the capacity to forget. So any sin that you've ever committed, I know I'm repeating myself, but any sin that you've ever committed in your entire life, I want you to remember, when you were obedient to the gospel of Jesus, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," John 8, verse 32. In God's mind, you were not guilty. Suppose you were guilty of some act of immorality, or thievery, or lying, or what have you. When you were obedient to the gospel, God blotted that out of His book of remembrance. We need to recognize that. And it'll cause us to appreciate the love of God far more than we ever have in the past. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter wrote, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you to reason the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Several years ago, while working with the congregation at Lebanon, the elders put a challenge to the brethren to read the Bible through in 1 year. There's a lady probably 60, 65 years old, been a Christian for probably 40 years. She called me up and she said, "Elvis, I don't understand. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of that forbidden tree, you will die." And this lady said, "Elvis, they didn't die that day. They didn't die that day that they ate of that forbidden fruit." I looked at her and I said, "Yes, they did die that day. Sin brings a separation. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve did not die physically that day, but they died spiritually the very day that they ate of that forbidden tree." Oh, it's so vital that we go by the book, the sword of the Spirit. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not at your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. We need to live by the book. In Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to search the Scriptures. We need to live according to what God said, not according to what we want to live by, but according to what God. God knows far better what we need than we know ourselves. And he wants us to follow the book. He wants us to be cut by the sword of the Spirit. He wants us to teach others the will of the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to do. But I'm fearful. Yes, I'm fearful that there's so few in the average congregation of the Lord's Church that can even give a plan of salvation and tell you exactly where it's found at. Instead of spending a lot of time with the TV, I want to encourage you to turn it off. Pick up the book. Study it, that you might be approved in the sight of God. To have God's approval is the most important thing in the world. I might have the approval of mankind, but that doesn't really mean a whole lot. I want to hear God say one day, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been a faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. What should we do with the Bible? It's also a light. In Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse 130, "Thence to thy word it giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." And oh, how I need to meditate upon the Bible. So I want to encourage you. You know, there's an old saying, K-I-S-S. I mentioned this in the prayer session tonight. Keep it simple, stupid. Or don't speak too long. Joe preaches about 20 minutes on Sunday night, and my time is just about gone. The Bible, where do we get it? From God. The Holy Spirit guided people in all truth. And people might say, "Well, you know what? That's only old Paul or Peter, James, or John writing." In 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul wrote, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write in thee are the commandments of the Lord." What Peter, James, and John and Luke wrote were the commandments of the Lord. And what Moses wrote, what Jeremiah wrote, Isaiah and the other prophets, they got their information from the Lord. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What should we do with the Bible? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." What? Meditate day and night. Why? "That you might be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that'll bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaves will not wither, but the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind carries about." Used to be an old song that we used to sing, "Just like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Blessed is the man that meditates upon the law of the Lord day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water." I don't say this boastfully at all. There's a preacher years and years ago by the name of M.P. Winker, that the old Johnston Dale congregation. He encouraged me to use the sword of the Spirit, start teaching people the will of the Lord. He was a fine man, but I thought, if I go out there and have a Bible study with a person and they ask me a question, just have to say, "Elvis, I don't know the answer." But I made myself and God a promise. If you don't know the answer, you'll find the answer before you go to sleep tonight. Go ahead and ask me the question. Have you lost very many hours of sleep? Yes. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to the hope that you have. What a wonderful privilege it is to feed our souls upon the Word of God. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken is the same as you judge him in the last day." Upon the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter used the sword of the Spirit. He told about the tomb of David that was with them, and they knew where it was at. They told about the tomb of Jesus and how it was empty. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, when they were cut to their heart by the sword of the Spirit, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and your children all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." And when the many other words get testified and short, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation," and they that glad received his word were baptized. And the same received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tonight can be the best day of your life. You can receive forgiveness. Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. The sword of the Spirit tells about God's grace, God's mercy. Titus 2:11, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." But all men will not accept that grace. But the grace is available. The blood of Christ is available for you. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you will not redeem with corruptible things, as silver and gold from the vain conversation, receive a tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, so that I am without spot and without blemish." What can wash away man's sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make one whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Years ago, when I confessed my faith in Christ and I was baptized in the waters of baptism, I reached something that was so precious, so powerful, and that is the blood of Jesus. Tonight, if you've never put Christ on in baptism, if you've never obeyed the sword of the Spirit, I'd like to encourage you tonight to examine your own life in the light of the Scriptures. If you need to follow, if you need to be baptized, we'll be glad to baptize you tonight. If you fall by the wayside as an erring child of God, please come back home while there's still time and opportunity. "Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Do you need to respond tonight? If you do, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.